Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Bulky Blue Podcast. And today we are going to be going over the Atletico Madrid preview. Now, today I'm going to be going over some of the little key stats, little key facts. Go over a couple of the players that have played for Chelsea and Atletico in the past. And I think I'll go from there. So, first thing we need to establish. One, it's a Champions League. Second thing, it's our away leg, so to speak. So what happens tonight will be away goals. However, it's not being played at the Wanda Metropolitano. It's being played in either Bucharest or Budapest. I'm not sure which one. I really can't remember. But either way, it's not being played at Atletico's ground. So it'll be interesting. Definitely interesting. I mean, if we need to take advantage of not being there. It is as simple as that, because if we can't take advantage of the away goals, they can cause us serious problems. Yeah, like they're a good team. It's as simple as that. They are a very good team. They're currently sitting, if I'm not mistaken, at the top of La Liga. I might be wrong, but I think they're top. Simeone is a fantastic coach. Some of the players that he's got are immense. I think they've got, in my opinion, the best goalkeeper in the world in Jan Oblak. I think their defenders are brilliant. They know how to defend as well. They've got Trippier, who they bought from Tottenham. They've got Jose Maria Jimenez, who we are very interested in. They have also got players like Saul, Llorente, Suarez. That's a big one. Luis Suarez. Jesus Christ. Thomas Lemar. I'm just trying to think of other big players. They've got Koke that can hurt us. They've got a lot of players that can hurt us. And it's going to be a scary match. It is really going to be a scary match, because I don't know which Chelsea are going to turn up. It's either going to be the Chelsea that, as much as they're off form at the minute, the Chelsea that dominated Spurs, or it's going to be the Chelsea that showed up against Southampton and when we were proper shite. Let's get into some of these little stats here, because some of them are actually quite intriguing. In the past 8 seasons, Atletico Madrid have made the knockout round in 7 of them. The only time they didn't in the past 8 seasons was 17-18. Conte's second season. Roma and Chelsea went through that year in the group stage. And at their ground, it was Morata and Batshuayi, a last minute winner. And then back at the bridge was 1-1. However, that season, they finished third because we had Carabag in our group. Carabag finished bottom. Roma topped the group. Chelsea second. Atletico third. Carabag fourth. They dropped into Europa League. They beat Arsenal in the semi-final. And they beat, I believe, Marseille in the final. So, even though that season they didn't go to the knockout rounds of the Champions League, they ended up winning the Europa League that season. We are trying to make our first appearance outside of the last 16. So, quarterfinals or beyond, since 13-14. When we lost in the semi-final to none other than tonight's opponents, Atletico Madrid. Atletico Madrid have been sort of like a nemesis for us over recent years. Starting with the 2012 Super Cup, where Radamel Falcao had an absolute field day and we conceded four. Then 13-14, they beat us. Although Torres did score that night, so it was awesome. And then we beat them 2-1 at their ground, like I've just said. But I don't know. I mean, this year, it's hard to say. It's very difficult to call. I think out of the draw, we probably got the hardest team that we could have drawn, barring PSG. Oh no, was it PSG or Leipzig that finished second? Or was it Barcelona? I think it was Barcelona, Atletico Madrid, that we could have got. That were the real, real stinkers. Maybe Juve as well. But it is what it is. If we want to be champions of Europe, we got to beat the best teams in Europe. And, well, Atletico Madrid are one of the best teams in Europe. It's as simple as that. They sometimes haven't got the trophies to back it up, but the players they've got, the ability they've got, the manager they've got, the attitude they've got of this never say die, I'm gonna give everything. It's phenomenal to watch. The reason why we drew them is because they finished second, we finished top. So, in their group stage, they played 6, won 2, drew 3, and lost 1. Whereas we played 6, won 4, drawn 2. We didn't lose. They had a negative 1 goal difference, and I'll be honest, I can't remember what ours was. I know ours was fairly high because we only conceded 2 goals the entire group stage. It's an interesting prospect, to say the least, playing against Atletico Madrid. And some players know what it's like playing on both teams, actually. You had, in particular, you had Fernando Torres, because he played for us. He played for Atletico before he moved to Liverpool. From Liverpool, he came to us, and then from us, he went back to Atletico. But in his time with us, he played. He played against Atletico, scored, even in the Super Cup, and in the 2013-14 season. But come 17-18, he played in. He definitely played in the Stamford Bridge match in the group stage, because I remember it. So he knows what it's like playing for both squads. You had Alvaro Morata play for both. Felipe Luis, Diego Costa, the Snake himself, Thibaut Courtois. We've had a few players who know what it's like playing for both Atletico and Chelsea. I mean, it seemingly like we send all of our strikers back there. All of our Spanish strikers, anyway, with Costa, Morata, and Torres. I mean, the Atletico board are probably going to be pissed with Marina, given she ripped them off $50 million from Alvaro Morata. But no, in all seriousness, the transfers between the two clubs have been successful as of late, in terms of we like doing business with each other, we get good deals with each other. Ultimately, we've got to see what happens, and that's the same with tonight. Same within, 2-3 weeks' time when we play them again in a return leg. Hopefully, we're not so far behind that it's unturnable. And that's what I was saying about making sure we take advantage of the fact that we're not at Atletico's ground tonight. That is very it's going to be very tough on Atletico to get past that, I think, personally. I might be completely wrong. They might come out and it might actually relieve them, because they sit and go, right, okay, we've got nothing to worry about. Or not nothing to worry about, so to speak, but nothing to fear, in the sense that we play our game, sod what they're doing. And I don't know. I mean, it'll be very interesting, as I've said. Very interesting. But I didn't... We're without one of our best players. Not just one of our best players, one of our most influential players that we've had in a very long time, in Thiago Silva. Thiago Silva is out of this match. And it's a worry, because I don't think some of our defensive personnel have the capabilities of playing in a... being solid and on it for 90 minutes, they're liable to a mistake. However, we've got no choice. I'll be going over my lineup shortly. However, offensively, we've got Pulisic and Havertz back. So, I doubt they'll start, given they've just come back from injury. I very, very highly doubt they start, actually. But again, it sounds like I'm just repeating myself, but it will be an interesting, hard-fought, tactical match tonight. And that does actually lead me into my lineup, because I mean, Mendy has to go in goal for me. That's the only option. Edouard Mendy in goal. We need our strongest available 11 today, if you ask me. That allows the given the circumstances of the squad and the injuries that we've had, I think we need to go our best possible 11 at the moment. Now, I've gone for one lineup in the formation we've been playing under Tuchel. However, I'm going to give a second lineup afterwards of what I personally would do. So, Mendy in goal. A back three of Azpilicueta, Christensen in the middle, Rudiger, left centre back. A midfield four of Chilwell, because Alonso the other day was just dog shit. Kovacic, Jorginho, and Callum Hudson-Odoi. I'll elaborate on my choice for Hudson-Odoi in a minute. And in behind Olivier Giroud, because Giroud's my striker, have Mason Mount and Timo Werner. So, Hudson-Odoi. Callum. I believe he'll start tonight. I really do. And I'm basing it purely off of two things. One, what Tuchel said in his post-match press conference, in that he said that basically he wasn't great that game, but that game's over now, and then come Tuesday's in contention to start. So it basically Tuchel, in my head anyway, he turned around and said, you're still in the team. Like, you're not going to be completely frozen out. You're still there. And the second reason, and as wrong as some people believe it is, I believe Tuchel made an example out of Hudson-Odoi the other day. And I think he did that for a couple of reasons. One, to light a fire up Callum's arse. He weren't on it. He lost the ball a good amount of times. A fair amount of times. In his brief cameo against Southampton. And I think by Tuchel pulling him off after 30 minutes as a sub, I think it sends Callum the message saying, you've got to be better. And I think Hudson-Odoi will be the kind of player to go, right, you want to pull me off, I'm going to fucking show you that I deserve to be on that pitch. And he's going to, if he plays tonight, I've got no doubt in my head whatsoever, he will be one of, if not the best player on the pitch tonight. No doubt. Tuchel also said that it was because, like, Callum was right in front of him, which does make it seem a lot worse. And it will explain why players like Alonso stayed on. But the biggest thing for me is it gives, like, I think why he did it to Hudson-Odoi in particular. He brought Hudson-Odoi on at half-time, right? If he takes any of the other players off at that time, it looks to the players like it's just a normal sub, a tactical sub. And it doesn't click, we need to be better. Whereas the fact that he's pulled off his own substitute, he brought on Hudson-Odoi at half-time, and he brought off Hudson-Odoi 30 minutes later, because Hudson-Odoi, quote-unquote, wasn't good enough, it makes the other players realise, oh, shit, this guy ain't messing around. It makes them sit there and think, all right, we've got to be on it. We have to be at the top of our game. There's no room for complacency whatsoever. And I think he did it on purpose. I really do. And that all depends on the result today. But if the result goes well today and Hudson-Odoi plays an absolute fucking banging game, it'll be forgotten. Because it'll be what a brilliant piece of managerial genius that was from Tuchel. They'll be singing his praises. And especially if other players like pick their ideas up as well. Realise they're not undroppable. They're not immune to criticism and to, like, basically, you're not guaranteed a start. You've got to earn your place. And that brings me into Alonso, because I've said it for weeks. Ever since the Newcastle game, I've said it. He'll come in, he'll have one or two good performances, and then it'll dip. And against Southampton, he had a fucking mare. Honestly, there was more donkey from Alonso than there was in the Shrek movies. That's how shit he was. Alonso was absolute pants the other day. And yeah, I agree it was wrong to sub off Hudson-Odoi over Alonso, but I mean, a lot of people have been telling me, or should I say a lot of people I've read online on Twitter, are saying, but Alonso at left wing back is brilliant. Yeah, for a couple of games. Other than that, he's shite. And the worst part is you don't know when them couple of games are going to be. So do you play him to the detriment of the team on the hopes he has a brilliant game? Or just not play him? That's why I've picked Chilwell tonight. Because he cannot... I would rather him learn in left wing back and be shaky for a bit and then learn the job than Alonso be there and continuously fuck up against an Atletico Madrid side who are going to punish us. We know what Luis Suarez is capable of. First hand. Like, we know the damage that guy can cause. And if we've got Alonso fucking up, Rudiger, Christensen, any of them... No, I'm not just singling out players. Any of them. If any of them fuck up, they go 1-0 up. And when Atletico Madrid go 1-0 up, we saw it last year with Liverpool, it is fucking impossible to break them down because they know how to defend and they get gritty while doing it. So what we've got to do, impose our game, not make mistakes. Actually, if we lose the ball, fucking press and get the cunt back. Get the fucking thing back. Like, we have to win tonight. We have to win, and we cannot let them score first. We cannot let them score first. That is hands down imperative. We cannot let them score first. If they do, you may as well call the tie, in my opinion. Or at the very least, say, yep, that's the end of the leg. Get out of there with 1-0 and then take you back to the bridge. I mean, if you ask me right now, I'll take a draw. And it's not me being negative or anything like that. I actually think Tuchel can do a job. I think we can get a win tonight. But it's mainly the opposition and the... the fact that it's away goals. That's what the importance of it is. If we can get a scored draw tonight, 1-1, 2-2 especially, 2-2 would work brilliantly, because a 1-1 draw at home wouldn't be enough. 2-2 draw, obviously I hope for a win, but if we can get a scored draw, then I think we're in good shape for the, like for the to make the quarterfinals in, for the second leg. I think we'll be fine if we get a scored draw. However, obviously, as I said, I want a win, and I think this three at the back formation that I've gone with in this lineup is enough to do the job. However, I want to throw something else out there. So, I'm going to throw out a 4-2-3-1. And I don't know if it'll work or not. I doubt very highly that Tuchel will play it. But the one I would go with, and there is a reason why I'd go this formation as well, and I will explain afterwards. Mendy in goal, a back four of Reece James, right back. Ben Chilwell, left back. Azpi and Zuma as our centre backs. I know. Kante and Mount as a double six. Hudson-Odoi on the right. Pulisic on the left. Havertz in the 10, Werner up front. Now, firstly, I've put Aspi at centre-back in that lineup because I don't trust Rudiger or Christensen. I think Zuma with a commander, like a leading centre-back next to him, which I think Aspi is. I think he's a very decent and a very composed defender. I think will work. So, that partnership. Kante is Kante. I'm bringing Mount a bit deeper because, one, it allows Kai to be in his natural position. And two, Mount can then push the rest of them forward. He's a brilliant ball carrier. He's got skills. His pressing energy is unprecedented. And if he does decide to go and pressure the ball, he's got Kante next to him to sweep up. So I think it would work perfectly. I've gone Pulisic left wing. Well, left. Because it's Pulisic. If we can get him firing at his best, then we're laughing. Hudson-Odoi on the right, again, him at his best. Even Ziyech, like, Ziyech thrives on a European night. So, Havertz in the middle, being that focal point of the five players around him, with Mount, Kante, Ziyech, or Hudson-Odoi. Pulisic and Werner up front. Like, with him in that central point, he can receive it one way, ping it the other. Like, no matter what way he's looking. And the fact that he will be looking for the runs from Werner early. And with Werner actually making them runs, which he has been doing lately and no one's been finding him, we have the opportunity to get in behind them. And the big reason why I've gone for 4-2-3-1 And it's the same reason why I went 3-4-2-1 rather than 3-4-3 for the actual lineup. The more lines we have in the formation, the more Atletico get pulled apart, the more gaps start to appear, and the more we can pass round them, pass through them and whatnot. So I think having the 4-4 will be like the four different formation lines, should I say. Like lines of players. So will be the beneficial like factor in it, but who knows? However, that does lead me into my score prediction. It's a tough one. It really is a tough one. We'll definitely score. I think we'll definitely score. However, with our defenders, with no Silva, I can see Suarez scoring as well. I'm going to go with my head screaming 2-2. But I want us to win. I'm going to follow my head rather than my heart. I think it's going to finish 2-2. It's a fair result. It's the score draw like I want. I do believe Werner will score today. And it's not me being a fanboy. Whether he scores first or not, I don't know. But I think he will score today. Who knows? I think we're going to dominate possession. And that's a combination of both our style under Tuchel and Atletico style in general. They're not your typical Spanish side who dominates the ball and passes it around you. They're a team basically how we used to be under Jose in the year we won the Champions League, in the sense that we'll sit back, you try and break us down. And when you try breaking us down, we are going to counter and we are going to punish you. Because that's how we were. And yeah, I think 2-2. Obviously, if we can go better than that, if we can get a win, that'd be even better. Because we just then have to keep the scoreline level at the bridge. And we'll be fine. And which I think we have the capabilities of doing. So, but yeah, 2-2. That's going to be my prediction. And that is going to be the end of this podcast. So if you did enjoy it, please leave a share. Give me a review on Apple Podcasts. Give me all your love, basically, that you can get. Give me a follow on Twitter at CookCO4. That is CookCO4. And until next time, guys, blue is the colour. Football is the game. And I am out of here. Good. Bye.